Be opening your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Tom read just a few minutes ago from Luke. One of the things that I noted in the reading was the fact that Pilate attempted to release Jesus. Now think about that. Pilate attempted to release Jesus. There were some people there who were very zealous that Jesus not be released, but that he be crucified and that Barabbas be released. In Acts chapter 3, Peter says that Pilate had in mind or had decided to release Jesus. But because of the zeal on behalf of the Jewish people who were present at that time, Jesus was crucified. It's difficult to deny the fact that those folks were zealous that Jesus be crucified. Now let me read to you beginning here in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, the first four verses. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. But their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. I don't know if you noticed this or not, and I'm beginning to be a little more aware of it. You notice that Paul starts out writing about his heart's desire for his own Israelite brethren. And he also says that they are zealous for God. Now understand, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's talking about those of his own Jewish brethren who have not accepted Jesus Christ as the end of the law. They have chosen to reject Christ. He says that they are zealous for God. Now think about that. And the other thing that you might notice here is that Paul talks about that, and he also talks about righteousness from God. Sometimes I think people, and maybe I'm mistaken about this, but I'll say it anyway, and then you can decide whether to accept it or not. I think that people get zeal and knowledge and righteousness mixed up. Or maybe they don't talk about them together as Paul does here. Just think about that a little bit. Maybe I'm all twisted around here on this, but think about it. Paul talks about his desire for his own people. It is that they may be saved. Now that's another element that I didn't include there when I was talking about that zeal and knowledge and so forth. It's also salvation in there. So you have at least four different elements that Paul is writing about right there, all in the same passage. Anyway, this passage of Scripture here is part of a larger theme, a larger context, where he talks about grace. We know this is the book of Romans, so Paul is talking about grace. He's talking about faith. But he's talking about grace, he's talking about faith, he's writing about Israel, he's writing about the Gentiles, and he's also talking about salvation in Christ, as well as righteousness. And they all go together. They all go together. Just back in the previous chapter, starting in verse Romans 8, verse 35. Let me read these few verses here, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall hardship, or shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor any other, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture. I think it's taken out of context on occasion by people with ill intent, but it's a beautiful passage of Scripture. Paul spoke and wrote from the heart about his own Jewish brethren. Israel's unbelief was a choice that they made on their own. They rejected the cornerstone. In chapter 9, in Romans chapter 9, I might have told you that that was Romans chapter 9. It's Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39 is what I read. Now Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 30. What shall we say, or what shall we say, that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith? But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, or the cornerstone. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. That's Isaiah chapter 8, 14, and also 28, 16. Zeal. Zeal. You remember in 9:32, not by faith, but as if it were by works. You know, there's a possibility. I think there's a distinct possibility that we might be mistaken about faith and works in the Old Testament. But anyway, that's another subject. The sermon here is about Israel's zeal for God and it not being according to knowledge. Yes, believe it or not, zeal and knowledge do go together. They can be separated, and we often do separate them, but they do go together. One of the things that I think you see here is balance in Scripture. I could be mistaken, but I think you see balance in Scripture here. I'm even convinced that life must have its balance. Well, look here. In chapter 10, in verse 1, Paul says, my heart's desire. Really and truly, if we probably, all of us, if we went around the room and started asking what's your desire, what's your heart's desire, we'd all be giving different answers to that. But Paul says here that his prayer to God for Israel is that they be saved. It might well be that this passage here may appear to be in conflict with another passage, but anyway, the statement where Paul says that so shall all Israel be saved. If you take that on the surface, then you might be mistaken about it, and you might imagine that there's a conflict here, but there's not. There's not. So Paul's prayer, his desire, the desire of his heart, is that all Israel be saved. You know, if you stop and think about it, again, all of us have a strong desire. In regard to salvation, we have a strong desire that this person, that person, and the other be saved. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we imagine that if we'll just turn up the zeal a little bit and apply that they're going to be saved. Maybe. Maybe not. And yet, we know that many of those that we have an earnest desire that they be saved, many of those people are people in possession of hardened hearts. And we can only pray that their hearts be softened, that their hearts be touched, that their hearts be opened, so that they can and will receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can pray for that. We can continue to pray for that. And we should. We must. What's your heart's desire? Paul's expressed his here. A strong desire for his own Jewish brethren that they may be saved. Well, here it is in this passage of Scripture. In verse 2, I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. They were. There's no denying that. They were zealous for God. One of the greatest things that we can ever enjoy is zeal for God. There's nothing more refreshing than seeing someone who is genuinely zealous for God. Amen. Mm-hmm. If all of us were honest with ourselves, we'd say, yes, I need a little more zeal for God. In our private moments, we might pray earnestly and with tears that God give us zeal for Him and His Word more and more. Some people, I think you might agree with this statement, but some people, if stricken with zeal, would likely need some professional attention or treatment. They would be surely considered gravely ill. For Israel, as you see here in this passage of Scripture and in other places where Paul is writing, letting go of their past in Judaism. And note in a couple of places that Paul takes great pride in his Judaism, his history. He basically says, folks, I've got bragging rights. He had bragging rights as a Jew. And he also had bragging rights as a Christian. Think about that. He had bragging rights. But letting go of those old things in Judaism was very, very difficult. When it gets down to it, when you look at this here, I can testify about them that they have a zeal for God. They're zealous for God, but it's not based on knowledge. It's not based on understanding. It's not based on the revelation of Jesus Christ as the end of the law. It's not based on righteousness that comes from God. Now, it's real easy for us to take a look at this, to take a look at this passage of Scripture, and to look at what Paul is writing about his own Jewish brethren and say, they should have known better. It's real easy to do that. It's real easy to get wound up in a discussion and talk about how sad it is for the Jewish people who have chosen to reject God and His righteousness while still being zealous for God. And then overlook the obvious lesson that for us it's difficult to let go of sin, to let go of bad habits, to let go of false ideas, to let go of false opinions and an inflated ego. Very difficult for us to let go of those things, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Paul was one who served as an example of a very zealous Jew, even to the point of persecuting the church and giving approval to the murder of Christians. The zeal that Paul is talking about here in these first four verses in Romans chapter 10 is not just some kind of frenzied excitement. It was serious business. And so it is for us. These folks were seriously dedicated to God. How dedicated to God are you? I know there's plenty of that zeal that comes from the mob mentality. That's why I referenced the reading from Luke that Tom gave us this morning. Those folks were Jewish people. They were stirred up and they thought they were being zealous for God by saying, "Crucify him, give us Barabbas." They thought they were. But they had been worked up into a frenzy by some folks that had some ideas that were wrong. Zeal must have a direct connection with knowledge. There must be some balance there. We must have both. As a matter of fact, I think it's very easy to be very zealous for God when you know God's Word. If you don't know God's Word, then you don't know when to be zealous and when not to be zealous. You don't know when to agree with somebody and when to disagree with them. The next thing that Paul talks about is righteousness. Pay close attention to this. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Think about that a little bit. There must be a standard of righteousness. The only approved standard of righteousness is God's righteousness. The only approved standard of righteousness is God's righteousness. If there is no standard of righteousness, then my righteousness is just as good as yours. Think about it. The standard that I use or just make up is just as good as yours if there's no standard of righteousness. You see, I may think it's just okay to step up to you and punch you in the nose. My standard of righteousness might say that's just okay. Your standard of righteousness might tell you that it's not okay for me to step up to you and punch you in the nose. And you just might choose to correct my standard of righteousness. You might. I'm assuming that you would take some corrective action. But now let's think about this a little bit more. And I'm off the subject and I'm on the subject, but I'm off the subject just a little bit. You might think this just a little bit silly for me to tell you this, that my standard of righteousness I might decide just to punch you in the nose. Or I might decide when you're getting ready to leave here to slip around and put my foot out and trip you. You might just say, we're going to go outside and talk about this a little bit. You might. But someone else may think that it's just okay, according to their standard of righteousness, for men to marry men and women to marry women. If there's no standard, then whatever you think is good and right and okay is acceptable. It doesn't matter who decides otherwise. God's standard is the final word.
Amen.
Here it is. And we look at this passage here in Romans chapter 10 and we think, well, that's just, you know, they decided to go by works and God said go by faith and we just pass on over that. There are implications. I know that what I've been saying is not necessarily the point that God Paul had in mind here. But maybe you can see the importance of an accepted standard of righteousness. Israel chose to reject God's righteousness by faith. And that as a result of that, they chose to establish their own. Anyway, four simple verses. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. When you look at this passage of Scripture, understand that Paul has something to say about his own Israelite brethren. He has a strong desire that they be saved. Understand, too, what he's saying about zeal. Zeal is great. It has to be meshed with knowledge. Understand what Paul is saying about righteousness. We must be sure that we subscribe to and submit to God's own righteousness and not go about the business of establishing our own. There are good lessons here for us. Be sure that you are subscribing to and submitting to God's righteousness and not establishing your own. God has established that salvation is by faith. He has established that those who submit to His righteousness will repent of their sins, confess Christ, and put Christ on in baptism. Let's stand and sing.